The Lord's encouraging us this morning. The more that we walk in the Spirit, the more the natural it will not affect us. The more in the natural you are, the more you will be subject to the natural resources and the things that come against you. But the more you get into the Spirit, and we're going to see this in the teaching. I want everyone to know the word that Danny had. We don't talk about what I bring. In fact, he gets kind of upset with me because I won't share anything. I'm very tight-lipped about what the Lord gives me for Sunday. But I think you're going to see when I begin to share that a lot of what came out in the Word this morning is what I'm going to bring out this morning through the Scripture. This is Ezekiel. This is chapter 47. And it says, "Afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefoot of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." So I see this when I read this as our walk in the Spirit. We can choose to just stay in ankle deep, just enough to get by, make it through the week and come in and just drag ourselves in. Or we can be totally immersed in the Spirit, totally so full of the Spirit that no flesh has any room to get in. You know, we talk a lot about one of my confessions for the nation is that the way they have pushed back on conservatives and Christians, we're going to push back on them. I saw a video of some young people that walked into a drag queen story time and began to shout loud enough to where the drag queen couldn't bring his, what, it, if, that, whatever, their story. Shout them right out of the place. Well, how'd they get Jericho? They shouted him right out of the place. See, this is what I said, "Lord, let us push back. Let us shout them out. Let us shout so loud that they cannot stay. They will have no place to go. They will push, we'll push them back under our feet." That's where the devil belongs. We're not against people here. It's the devil. He belongs back under our feet. We're going to shout him back under our feet. And how are we going to do it? By being immersed in the Spirit. We're going to have to get our eyes over what naturally is happening. And our focus is going to have to be the Spirit walk. That's how Jesus walked. That's how he did what he did. It was not by the flesh. None of it was by the flesh. You know, it's a big thing today. A lot of pressure to give money for campaigns and do all these natural things. And I understand it takes money to do things. But people don't get it today. The real battle is in the Spirit world. When we bring down that stronghold, that whole thing will collapse like a house of cards. That was one prophet, I forget his name, that passed away really, kind of like Kim Clement, kind of suddenly. Something Paul Jackson or something like that. I think he was the one that had it about the bulldozer going through D.C., the White House, like, and everything falling like a house of cards. That he was the wrecking ball. It was John Paul. Yeah. Anyway, it's like, this is not by might. It's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. If anything I've learned the last few weeks, the more time you can spend building up your spirit, praying in the Spirit, the more it's going to help you with the obstacles that come your way. Now, I understand wanting to get away and have distractions, watch TV, whatever. That's fine and good in its place. But what's really going to benefit you if you're really going through something? We build up our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. This is not a flesh and blood walk. And if you're looking to have a strong body to get you through, you can forget it. That's the world's way. Does it work? No. People that run and do all these things drop dead on the course. Done everything right their whole life. Exercise, ate right, done everything right, and they fall dead. So you tell me it works. It does not. What works is what you have done with your spirit. It's like you sacrifice one for the other. Everyone likes to feel good. But if you notice, like Moses, by the time God got ready to use him, he's like Porky the Pig. Blah, 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 blah. Lord, I can't even speak. He begged the Lord to let him go, to not make him go do this. Well, 40 years before, he was mighty in power. What happened? God emptied him out there on that desert. He had his brother do his speaking for him. He was nothing left. He got himself in prime position for, guess what? The Holy Ghost in them to do whatever needed to be done. Not by might or power, but by spirit. The process is painful. But it's essential, because God is not going to give his glory to you or anybody else. See, when we realize that, we see why so many in the Bible, we're talking the Bible way, not today, where they churn them out like those t-shirt things at the ball game. No, we're talking years on the backside of the desert to get to the place that you don't get in the way anymore of what God wants to do, because he wants to use you as a vessel. Okay. Today, this is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. This is February the 2nd, 2020. The name of this is called Tactical Support. God doesn't care what you can do. Tactical support. This is what tactical means. Relating to or constituting actions carefully planned to gain a specific military end. We're soldiers in God's army today. He needs us now more than ever. The earth is in the worst shape that it's been in since, I think, Noah's day. It's progressed further. But we see things happening. Brexit. They broke away from the Satan's agenda, the EU. God's doing things. God is doing things. And it's because his warriors are praying. I remember that little prophet, Jeremiah Johnson, talking about he's going to use the boomers. He saw President Trump running a race and he stumbled at the finish line and couldn't get up. And two little ladies, one on a walker, the other one with a cane, come up and supernaturally picked the president up and helped him finish the race. He said, the boomers have the heart of this nation. We were taught right. We were taught to respect the flag, honor God. Even my kids, they don't have that in them. The morals seem to be not there, and things, you know, that are missing from indoctrination from public school systems and the world's influence through movies and television, internet. But the boomers, the ones that seem to be so weak in their flesh, their youth is no longer on their side. Guess what? They're empowered with the Spirit and Holy Ghost power. Like I said, they can seat themselves in their easy chairs and maybe in some cases in their wheelchairs. And they can pick the president up and help him cross the finish line. Because they're prayer warriors, because they know where their real battle lies, and it's not with flesh and blood. Yeah, I don't like any of them any more than you do. But I thought, what if I find out later they're just playing a part and they're really not as ugly and nasty as we've been portrayed? You know, it's kind of like watching a soap opera. You have your villains and your heroines or whatever. But we do have one thing in common. We hate the devil. And our goal is to put him under our feet and stamp him out where he has no place to go in this country. If you want to do that mess, you take it somewhere else over there where they'll receive you. If you want to be the radical Islamist, you get yourself out of this country. That's the way I feel about it. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. You got the giant, which is the church. You got them mad, and now they're standing up and they're saying, shut them out of this country. If that's what you want, if you love this country, you want to be part and viable of this country, you're welcome with open arms. But if you want to cause problem and you want to act like the devil, then you can't stay in this country. Give the devil no place. Don't let him anywhere in your life or anywhere in anything that concerns you. It's like Brother Hagin used to say, you got to put a no trespassing sign on some areas. Okay, tactical, relating to or constituting actions carefully planned to gain a specific military end. This is what the Lord began to say to me. Be watchful to not go back to old thinking patterns. Now listen to me carefully here. You know how subtle the devil is? Be watchful to not go back to old thinking patterns. Now you must always remember that it is never a flesh and blood battle. Never a flesh and blood battle. Man, this is 75% of it. It may even be 99% of it. It is never a flesh and blood battle. Never. But always a mental one. Satan plays mind games. And this is where we need the tactical support. 2 Corinthians 10 through 5. Let's turn there. We know it by heart, but for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means it's not flesh. But mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds. These are mental blockades. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. God gave you your imagination to create for the kingdom of God. That's why he told Adam, let me see what he will call them. He did not give the imagination for Satan to use for his playground. To create. See, he can't create anything, but he can steal from you and get you to say things. He can get you to create things you don't want. You're thinking, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Oh, Lord, help us. Now, hold on. Diets, exercise, medicine, financial investments, get-quick-rich schemes, and a myriad of other tactics are all in that self-care realm. They all bring glory to man and implies it's by his own efforts. I'm healthy because I do this or that and the other, or I'm wealthy because I do this, that, and the other. Get the picture of how subtle Satan is in bringing new tactics about your mind, against your mind, that are totally against the will of God. Think about it. That's how we were raised. I'm sharing with you today exposing some of Satan's tactics. You will no longer be ignorant of his devices. And the Lord said, I said this to the Israelites. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Don't allow the devil to take you. I know after Brian did what he did, I went through a lot of guilt. And I remember I'd lay my head down to go to bed, and it's like the enemy would come at me with, why didn't I do this and why didn't I do that and all that. And through those kind of things, the Lord began to say to me, close the door on those things and think of something you did right, or think of something happy. Think about something that you liked about him that made you laugh. Think about those things. And when I started doing that, it stopped that other. If you can do it with one thing, you can do it with another. How many times are you sitting and doing stuff, and before you know it, a thought's leading you? That's how he does it. It's like bait. And you latch on to it. Before you know it, you're going in a direction you don't want to go. All right, Deuteronomy 8, 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by spirit. The desert bunch kept going back in their minds to Egypt. See the tactic of the enemy here? It's no different today. Same old tactic, used the same old way. I do it better myself mentally. This is pride. And we know who the prideful one is. 1 Peter 5. You know, I think people that, you know, you think, well, people that have money are prideful. Well, I think it's the people that don't have any money that have a worse problem with pride. This is 1 Peter 5. 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, he will exalt you. You're not doing it by your self-effort. Now, it's kind of the way in this country that most people work their whole life to get ahead and set up all this stuff for future. See, that's the system. That's the world system. That's Satan's system, the prideful one. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, he'll devour the proud, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's amazing. Joshua and Caleb saw the same things that the other 10 saw, but listen to their report. Two camps entirely. Okay, we're going to look over to Numbers chapter 13. I think I started to do this last week, and then I didn't, and I don't remember, or maybe it was the week before. They both saw the same things, but they came to different conclusions. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. So now this land was not, they weren't just going to see if they could rent something. God said, it's yours. Okay, of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now these weren't just anybody, these were the rulers of their tribes. Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them for the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names, and I'm not going to read those. Let's pick up with 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, in what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came up into Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshi and Talmi and the children of Anak were there. And Anak, those are the Nephilim here. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. So we see here giant people grow giant grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of the Jordan. Now this is the land of the giants. This is where all the giants lived. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we were able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So what did that do? That caused the whole congregation to get on the negative side of things. And essentially those ones that brought back the bad report ended up dying. We're talking, these were the leaders, the spiritual leaders. All right, we're going to keep going here. Old thinking patterns brought the downfall here. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. See, that's what brought the victory. New wine. Okay, we're going to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 9. You cannot help people or get people to do anything if they've got on their old wineskins, if you're trying to put new wine in it. That's why sometimes all you can do is give them a drop. Usually that is the case. Matthew 9:14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. And I guess I'm reading the wrong thing because I wrote it down wrong again. No, I'm right. Anyway, 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. This is why John the forerunner said, repent. The word repent in the Strong's in the Greek means to think differently. People's minds have to be renewed. This is what the Lord said. Don't be a goat saying, but it's what I ate. But it's what I said. But if only I hadn't taken that job, or only if I had taken that job. But you name it. There'd be giants there. Satan always comes with a half, God said, to get you out of your right way of thinking. The truth is, all food is clean. The truth is you're righteous, no shame, no blame, no guilt. If someone accuses you of something, if it isn't so, who are they? Who gives a rat what they think or what they say? We don't have to be ugly about it, but it don't have to stick. I'm healthy because I eat right and exercise and take vitamins and have all my yearly examinations, etc. Truth. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I'm a self-made man. I've invested in this and that, and I've done all these things, etc. He became poor that I might be rich. You see these little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine? You can see the danger in this kind of thinking. Turn with me to Luke 12. I think it's probably the same account or same. Well, no, it's not. Luke 12, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? You know, this kind of thing right here is why our world got to where it was. Because the love of money is the root to all evil. All the elites and all the things that have happened, the central banks, the bloodline families, it's all about the money, all of it. Their love of money. And they're wanting to control everybody and everything. See, this is Satan's agenda. When the love of money creeps in, it said it is the root to all evil. And you can see that. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He brought thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast made much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like retirement, doesn't it? It's the system. And God said unto him, Thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. So the man, he's working for his retirement, his whatever he wants to do. He's not working for God. Satan's attacks always come based in fear. Now remember this. It's a good gauge to know what's coming at you. If it's got fear attached to it, you know. Now you will be able to recognize when you're under attack. Why? What is fear? False evidence appears real. So you will know that it is fake news. Yes, false flags. There aren't just for this culture. It's been going on since Genesis 3 when the devil said to Eve, Hath God said? So now you know how to identify the enemy in his hath God said moments in your life. I allow you, now listen to this, I allow you to walk through things that don't feel good so that you will learn to walk by faith without them moving you. Faith has no feelings. You don't walk by feelings, but facts. This is faith. What facts? The facts of the Word of God and what it says. The facts are in my Word. Remember your facts. Then fear and feelings won't overtake you and you will remain steady and unmoved. You are in no harm. Shadows are only the appearance of things. They do not have to become a reality. Satan has been disarmed, and all he has is the power of mental suggestion. That's all he's got. I heard it described this way, that Satan's like a paraplegic. All he can do is run his mouth. He has no power to do anything. Remember that I am in the lead through this valley of the shadow of death, not death. As a warrior, this is the worst that you will ever know. Don't be afraid. I put 365 fear nots in the Bible for a reason, so that for every day of the year you can know not to fear. I have you covered. Never let fear make your call, only peace. Be strong in the Lord. Now we're going to look at Ephesians 6. Starting with verse 10. This is the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are different classes of demonic spirits here. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. So God is not setting you up for failure, but for victory. You may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. To stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now that, Jude 25, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I can't stress this enough. If you're feeling overcome or overwhelmed, you feel like you're losing the battle, then you need to go to praying in the Spirit. Why? Because you're strengthening the inner man that is the one that does the victory in this battle. It's not your flesh. If the flesh would do it, this society would have it made. If going to all the institutions of the world and all their self-help things, if that was the answer and if that did it, then people wouldn't be dying. They wouldn't be sicker than they've ever been. Faith does carry corresponding actions. Think well, acts well. Thinking supplied and acting supplied. This will override the emotions you're feeling and bring you to a place of stability. There's only two ways to hang today. There's not many ways to God. There's only one, and that's by faith. Many people think there are, but there's two masters, the Bible says. Matthew 6 makes it plain. You're either into the take care nation or cast care nation. So where are you from? I'm from the cast care nation. Say what? Yeah, you're from that Care Bear snare bunch. I know you. I hear it coming out of your mouth. Oh, what are we going to do? Galatians 5. Are y'all getting this? Yes. Galatians 5. It's very plain. It's just very plain. Set down in black and white here. Whichever way you choose. 5:16. Well, really 5:1 is a good exhortation. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God is bringing us out of the yoke of bondage. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's why people, when you talk this way, they look at you like you've got lobsters crawling out of your ears. Because they think, huh? Never heard anything like that in my life. Because they've walked after the flesh their whole life. They can't understand the spiritual things. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to get anything from God walking in the flesh. You're not going to receive. Period. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, he's saying, if we choose to walk in the Spirit, we'll receive life from that. If we choose to walk in the flesh, death. All right. 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Lord brought this back up to me. I was thinking about it. What triggered it this week is the president has chosen an emblem for the Space Force, and it just happens to be the Star Trek, whatever, one of the spinoffs of the original Star Trek, Space Command. It's the same logo, pretty well. Do you remember the old Star Trek episode? It was one of the first episodes. Captain Christopher Pike was severely injured. They had crashed on this planet. Along, there was a woman in the group. Those two survived. And they were in really bad shape. They were dying. There were aliens on the planet. And they had the ability to cause them to live in an alternate reality. Instead of stricken and decapitated, they were healthy, young, and vibrant. They were living in a virtual world. Now, this is happening in our world. In the 90s, the Lord spoke to me about virtual reality and that a day would come that people would be so into that that they would not be able to distinguish what was real or false, or where they might be so incapacitated in their natural body that they would choose to live in the virtual world. Well, this is Satan's deception for our day. They were mirroring it even back in the Star Trek days. There's many of those adventures I've thought back on, and there's one that's absolutely the Looking Glass, where they could look through it and have probabilities. And if you think about Spock and his, you know, being the science officer, he always gave you probabilities, and that's what the Looking Glass does, technology. You could probably go back now and watch the old episode and see it in plain sight today because you are awake. In light of that, where are we today, really? Where are we, really, today? This is Ephesians 1:21. The Word of God brings us back to reality. We don't have to live in a virtual world. We don't have to do that to escape, to just be able to deal with things down here. Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And in verse 6 over here of 2, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Then 3, 1 and 2 of Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's our reality right there. And it'll remain so forever. It'll never change. God's word will never pass away. God doesn't change. He doesn't. So we will not be moved because we trust a God that can't change. All right, Satan and his lies, he always appears as an angel of light. To me, the virtual reality is the alternative to divine healing and help. It's a counterfeit. It's to keep somebody's mind totally occupied on a certain thing to where they don't ever hear God. They don't say that Satan's after the minds of men. If you hadn't figured that out, I mean, it's no brainer. He's after the minds of men. That's what all this propaganda has been about since it all began early back in the 50s. Really before that. Hitler didn't, he wasn't just the only one that ever did that. This has been going on for a long time. Trying to sell us a bill of goods so they can come in and do Satan's bidding. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what it's all been. You know what? When I started doing this search on the truth about the earth and different things, the world got a lot smaller. And it brought the Bible completely together as one whole book instead of just fragmented things like we had looked at this piece and that piece and everything. Because really what it showed was God's creation. It showed what the devil did and what God did. Different generations thrown in between having to deal with the same old things. We're dealing with the same old things they dealt with. We still got the giants to contend with. Anak is still around. We still have to stand with our armor on. It's not a flesh and blood battle like there was, but they had a flesh and blood covenant. Paul made this statement. I never could find the reference, but it's one of, I really liked the way it, the Amplified puts it. But he talked about basically that he had learned to walk in resurrection life even while in the body. You could say it's our own spiritual reality, not our virtual reality, but our spiritual reality. We're walking in resurrection life even while we're in this body. Because this body's natural, we're subject to the things in the natural. Okay. He had to say, he had this to say about it. This is 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, false evidence that appears real, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he goes over here, 5:7, saying we walk by faith and not by sight. What's sight? Your feelings. What I feel, what I think. Paul learned to do that. He learned to shake the vapor off into the heat. How could he say this? He knew it was real. He knew that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made him free from the law of sin and death. So I encourage you to spend more time praying in the Spirit, especially if you're having a hard time. Turn the TV off or whatever else and focus in on building up your spirit, man, because it's in the spirit that you're going to whip him. That's the reason so many people are victims today, is because they don't take the time to pray in the Spirit or get in their Word to build themselves up. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then you build up your spirit man by praying in the Holy Ghost. So these two together work together. If you don't do that, how? It's like telling Rocky to go into the ring and he didn't train. Well, he got beat up pretty bad even when he did train. So you can imagine what would happen if you don't take the time. It's like our military going to boot camp, but they're just sitting around watching soap operas and eating donuts all day. Then they get attacked. I tell you this because I'm having to practice it myself. I've been taking note of what works, what doesn't work. See, praying in the Spirit takes you, you're never totally out of the natural, I don't guess, but it's like it removes you to your heavenly place, and you're no longer in your just natural reality. It takes you to a place that you can, you see, you can look down like Paul said, just a moment. It's just a moment. So the Lord wants us to come out to the deep. You know what was out in the deep? When Jesus came along, that's where they got the haul. I know praying in the Spirit, I can remember teaching 10, 12-year-old boys on Wednesday night and thinking, I was working for the oil show during that time, and I can remember my feet hurt. Last thing on earth I wanted to do is go across the street and teach them 10 to 12-year-old boys. But time after time, the anointing would come on me and the grace of God would be there. I didn't notice my feet hurting. I didn't notice anything. And after I got through doing it, I felt like I'd had a nap. I was totally and completely refreshed. It wasn't because I went home and slept. It was because of the Holy Spirit. It works, y'all. When we use it, it works. So I hope that's good tactical advice. But if anything, I can get you to recognize, if it's got fear behind it, you know where it come from, and you know it's false. Just that alone, if you can just recognize that alone, that'll keep you from going down roads that you don't want to go and getting into worrying and fretting about things.